don't know how you felt reading those words. It seems quite a simple thing to say on the Hebrew reading. But let's just see what we can unpick, because Hebrews, of course, was a Jewish person writing to Jewish Christians. And some of the things that he knew they would understand, we don't, because we haven't got that history. So that's sort of where I'm going with it today. So, all of that, as you know, is reference to the giving of the Torah, the covenant, the Ten Commandments and whatever. And it's a really weird story when you read it. It's sort of, over three or four chapters, it sort of, he goes up there and it all goes wrong and he comes back, and it's all a bit of a mishmash when you read it and thinking, okay, that's a strange thing. But the principle is that the people of God were too afraid, so they stayed and Moses went. Okay, which is sort of the picture that we always have. And then there's the picture of Jesus giving us the new commandment. And that message is the one that I think that we as Christians understand quite simply. We have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And the new covenant, as we know, was Jesus, and he celebrated it in the Last Supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And he took the old covenant and changed it phenomenally. At one stage, before Jesus, there was this whole idea of Moses up the mountain and the people at a safe distance. There was the people of the high priests going to the Holy of Holies and all of us oik standing somewhere else, safely away from God. And of course, Jesus came along and changed that. He gives us all intimate access to the Father, heart of God, doesn't he? That's why we are here, because we know that relationship with God. And before Jesus, the community of faith was enough. And sometimes we have elements of that. I know that baptism is always a big thing, you know, because the baptism is, of course, as we all know, our catechism, an outward and inward an outward and visible sign of an inward, invisible reality. So that means that you believe it and you're doing something to show it. And how can babies do it? And everyone gets really, you know, one side or the other about babies' baptisms or not. But babies were baptized as it was part of the community of faith. And that's sort of, you know, we're dedicating them to God. Don't want to get into the theology of it because we all have different opinions. And to a point, I don't think it particularly matters. But the idea that a community of faith is hugely important. But Jesus said that that wasn't enough. He loves us as individuals, and each of us has to choose to follow him. And Corrie ten Boom, I remember reading her book and it really sort of spoke to me. And she says, does being born into a Christian family make one a Christian? No, God has no grandchildren. Which I think is quite an interesting thing. We can't sort of say, oh, well, you know, I grew up knowing the Bible, so that's fine. We have to have that relationship. He isn't everybody's favourite granddad. He's our father. So community of faith is, of course, important. But Jesus is saying, no, we personally have to have that relationship. We personally have to have an individual relationship with God. And of course, it's not religion. Christianity is not religion or church, but it's that personal relationship with Jesus, because he has given us that new covenant. So, of course, there is the question, if you haven't come to that relationship, then I'd encourage you to think about it, to choose God as your saviour. But then there's also, which I think is probably true for most of us here, is that we did that ages ago. Where are we up to with it now? Are we just sort of nodding and we're in the habit of coming to church, and perhaps, you know, we might be in the habit of opening our Bibles, but, you know, it's in one ear and out the other, or you're listening to the radio while you do it or whatever. Are we spending quality time in our relationship? Or are we just sort of going through the motion? So that's the simple point one that I've always got from that Hebrews reading. But there's more. So I think that as Christians, we have this sort of idea. You can choose your analogy. I've done flat earth, circular earth, but you might want to do black and white telly, ultra HD, whatever all the other things are. But we have this idea that before Christ, you know, it was okay, but a bit limited. And then Jesus came and it was all really exciting and whatever. And that's true, but it isn't a sort of a competition, if that makes sense. And Jesus very clearly said, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And sometimes I think we always think, oh, well, you know, I'm just sort of, Jesus is my best mate. You know, I'll ignore all the demands that the Old Testament has. And, you know, the Old Testament's a bit weird anyway, isn't it? And that isn't what it's about. So I want us to sort of come back to this reading of Hebrews and Exodus and think it again. Now, when I read the Hebrews reading, which Mark gave, which is the Church of England lectionary reading today, I was quite sort of shocked, bemused, irritated, because God had been speaking to me about something very similar on this, and I was thinking I'd sort of shelved it, you know, and then it came back and you think, oh, rats, you know. So let's look at sort of two parts of this thing. And these words are relevant to you and me today. We are God's treasured possession if we keep his covenant. And it isn't that God expects us to be perfect, because good grief, there wouldn't be anyone worthy to do that, would we? But he wants to keep our covenant. And the important bit is that these people said, we will do everything the Lord had said. Can we say, Lord, and then say no? No, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to think about that. I do. And God keeps bringing me back and saying, actually, if you say I'm Lord, you know, you can't do it. And I put that out as a challenge. And no, Lord, doesn't work. We can say, we'll do everything the Lord has said, and then go off and do our own thing. And that's the challenge for me. And the thing that God was putting his finger on my heart that I really didn't want to was through this book. This is one of the books I've read recently. Laurie Gottlieb, she's a psychiatrist who was going through a hard time, and so she had to go for psychiatry herself. You know, I mean, all these Americans go for therapists, don't they, and whatever. But she sort of talks about her role as a therapist and being in therapy herself, and I loved the book. It was one of those books that you sort of slow down at the end because you don't want to finish it, you know, that sort of thing. Loved it. And she talked about God once, and it was that once that sort of blew my mind. She said, in the Bible, we say, do first and understand later. Now, I don't know about you. I think I know my Bible quite well. And I was thinking, do first, understand later. Do first, understand. I don't know that bit of the Bible. And I sort of had to go and research it. And in the festival of Pentecost, Shavuot, which of course we have as, what's the Christian equivalent of Pentecost? Yeah, the giving of the Holy Spirit. For the for Jewish people, it's remembering the first harvest. Remembering the giving of the law, the old covenant. And what they say, what their interpretation of the Hebrew words, remembering that they still speak Hebrew and Hebrew is a living language, what we say, we will do everything the Lord has said, the people who speak Hebrew, who've looked at those texts, they say, we will do, and then we will understand. Which, I don't know about you, I think that's a pretty impressively different translation. But this is sort of one of the huge parts of their service of Shavuot. And the words are, for all of us Hebrew scholars, I don't know how you say it, but I'll say it with confidence, Na'asa v'nish, nishma, perhaps, or whatever. And that means we will do and then we will understand. And when I read up about it, the whole principle is that the whinging people who were complaining as soon as Moses brought them out into the desert and saying, oh, you know, I prefer to be back in Egypt, at least I got food, or and all the rest of it, that they for once got it right, that they would accept God's law, and in doing it, they would learn. So what the Jewish understanding is of those Exodus passages is that they committed to accepting God's law and living it out, and because they were doing it, they would understand. You might think, what on earth are you talking about? We Brits, we modern people, you know, we think about buying a new car. We spent ages researching it, talking to people who have other cars. We try and get information on it. And we have so much information before we make the decision to buy the car, don't we? If I'd have done that for my husband, I would have interrogated Audrey's family history, done whatever, and perhaps not made that decision. Who knows? I would. But what they are saying is, rather than have all your information first, and then sort of think, okay, well, I think that they've met my intellectual criteria, I'll make the step. They're saying, we will put God's laws into effect, and in doing them, we will understand. And, you know, sometimes for jobs, or for games, actually, when I'm playing games with children in speech and language, it's so difficult to explain. Think of any board game you play and how difficult it is to explain it. Uno, trying to explain Uno to a kid. And what you do is you say, right, there are your cards, let's play it and practice. And I think that that deeply spiritual thing of Uno is what this is about, is that we have accepted Jesus as Lord, I'm hoping. Yeah? And rather than sort of using our heads and deciding, oh, well, we'll believe in that bit and we'll do that bit, is we're saying, okay, we will obey your laws, and in obeying them, we will understand. And I think that's true. When I came to church, to faith, I didn't really understand why you had to go to church. You know, it didn't, you know, there were all those, you know, I was young, all those old people, you know, in their 30s and above, who were at church and whatever. And, you know, what would I get out of that? You know, I was clever enough to read my Bible by myself. But actually, in coming to church, I've realized the importance of God's community. Hugely important. And I think that we have to think about doing this, in accepting God's law, even the bits that we're intellectually thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I think I know better. And then in putting it into practice, we can know about it. Now, to a point, you know, there are bits of the Bible that we understand this and we do it. But, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Also, God knows the whole battle. He calls us to lean on his understanding as we march into it. And sometimes we have to believe and stay there, don't we? We have to believe and just make a tentative step. And I think that that is what the Jewish faith and the festival of Shavuot, their festival of Pentecost of 50 days, is all about. And I think the Hebrew writer expected us all to understand that because he was writing to Jews. But I think it's something for us to just sort of grapple with. What I found in a Jewish website was, we will do and we will hear or understand. Try it. Learn by doing. The Jewish approach includes taking an action without necessarily knowing why it's important or how it will work out, but trusting that it will lead to understanding. And I think that God's been challenging me, which is why these words jumped out, is that I am sometimes too much in my head, too much sort of, oh, well, I'll think about that later and I won't do anything until. And I think God was saying, no, you know, step out in it, do it, and you will understand more rather than just sort of at a distance thinking about it. And as God was speaking to me, I hope that that is relevant to you too. And I would like you to just sort of spend a moment thinking, are we trusting God by doing and stepping out in faith sometimes when we don't perhaps know what's going to happen? By reading the Bible and thinking, okay, that's a practice that I should do. I should love these people. I should do whatever it is that God's speaking to you. But then step out and trust God rather than having all the answers here before we start. We're going to have a moment's silence just to think about that, think about the passage, think about this thing, and talk to God. Let's be still. Lord, whatever you've placed in our hearts about this reading, about doing and then understanding, that it will be like a little ear maggot, that it won't go away, and that as we go through our lives, we will realize what you're speaking to us about, and that we will do, and then we will understand. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you, to say Lord and mean that you are indeed our Lord and not just sort of an extra that we think about sometimes. Show us, Lord, how we can walk in your ways, and in walking in your ways, understand you more and grow in our faith more. Seal this work in our lives. Amen.